Well, I believe that this morning. I believe the Lord still hears and answers prayer. I've been blessed by some scriptures this week, and I guess I thank the Lord for this week. I had a wonderful week in the Lord this week. I just felt like the Lord helped me in so many different ways. Not really temporally, but spiritually. Well, He helps us temporally too, but I'd like to look in the book of Hebrews to start off. In the 5th chapter. I'm going to go ahead and start at verse 1. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." So it's talking about the high, it's talking about the priesthood, the priest that were ordained. They were chosen of God. God chose Aaron. He was chosen of God to offer sacrifices. And as Brother Galen brought out this morning in Sunday school, he offered for himself first, for his family, and then for the people. But they're taken from men. In this verse, verse 2, it says, "Who can have, these priests can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." In other words, they were taken from among men. An angel wouldn't have been a good priest. But men are. Men can be. If they're chosen of God. Because they're compassed, they're human. And that's why it was that Jesus had to take upon himself flesh. He is our high priest at the right hand of God, and he understands our humanity. He understands our infirmity. It says, because they are compassed with infirmity. He understands. If he wouldn't have taken on human form, he wouldn't have really been able to totally understand what it was like. Says, "And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." That's an Old Testament scripture. That's a prophecy in Psalms. "And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And we understand that Melchizedek had an ongoing priesthood. Jesus wasn't after the order of Aaron. He had another priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, an unending priesthood. In verse 7 it says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." In this last part, I believe it's saying that God heard that prayer. God heard that strong crying. God heard those tears in the garden. It says in that he feared because Jesus feared God. He kept the Lord's commandments. He reverenced. Now the Septuagint on this reading, it says, and was heard for his devotion. Jesus was devoted to the will of God, to obeying the Father. And God heard him in his time of trouble, in his time of suffering and need. But it says he had offered up prayers, supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I want to stop there. I want to look at verse 9 for a little bit. It says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The sufferings of Christ perfected him. I believe the scriptures bring this out. The sufferings perfected him as a savior, a high priest. I want to look at the same book, Hebrews, the second chapter, and the ninth verse. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Christ was perfected through his sufferings. Now this word perfect, it's taken from in the Strong's, it means complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental and moral character. Completeness. Consummate in character, accomplish, finish, fulfill. There's another verse that mentions, there are different verses that talk about, we read there in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, in the ninth verse, it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The Lord was perfected. He finished. He completed. He went the full extent. He went the last mile. He went above and beyond. And he was perfected. Now I want to go to verse 8. In Hebrews 5, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now this is my text this morning, verse 8. Learning obedience. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. We don't like to suffer, do we? But Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I want us to think about the life of Christ. It was his whole life. It wasn't just the cross, I believe, the sufferings perfected him. He went to the very end of what he was to accomplish. But also, you remember as a child, when he was there at Jerusalem talking with the elders, and his parents lost track of him, and they went back to Jerusalem and found him, and it said he went back with his parents, and he said he was subject unto them. He was subject unto his parents. That means he obeyed his parents. You know, one of the greatest lessons a child can learn is obedience in life. One of the greatest lessons a child can ever learn is to obey. When they don't want to, when they don't feel like it, when it's not convenient. Obedience is very important. And we can see that in life. We see people that have brought themselves under and submitted to their parents, how that gave them a foundation for the future. And we see people that never did submit to their parents, and we see them not wanting to submit to authority, not wanting to submit to having someone over them. And they make a mess of their lives because they never learned how to obey. The Lord works through obedience. He wants us, and the greatest lesson that we can learn as the children of God is obedience. To obey the Lord. To humble our hearts. It took Jesus strong crying and tears. It took him great humility to obey the death of the cross and to follow through with the plan of God for his life. It was no easy undertaking. And sometimes it's going to cost us tears. To humble ourselves, it's not easy. We talked about Naaman recently and how that Naaman had in his mind how God was going to heal him. And the Lord wanted to heal Naaman, but he didn't work according to Naaman's game plan. And Naaman was furious. He was mad. He was upset. And he was getting ready to go and leave. He turned in anger. And his servant said, "Master, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it?" And Naaman probably agreed to that. But he said, "How much more to dip in this Jordan River 7 times, which looked foolish, which looked ridiculous." He had to humble himself to do that act. That's what the Lord told him to do. The Lord spoke to Elijah. The Holy Spirit spoke through Elijah. That was the Lord. That wasn't Elijah. That was the Lord telling him what to do. And when he went and dipped, He obeyed. He humbled himself. You know, that was humiliating for him. To all of his servants were there, and he thought the prophet was going to come out and strike his hand over the place and call upon his God, and there was going to be probably a wonderful camp meeting. You know, the Lord works so contrary to what we get in our minds sometimes. He works so different. But if we can humble ourselves under and listen to His voice and obey His voice, Naaman was healed. He was blessed because he humbled his heart and he yielded to that. And he dipped 7 times in that muddy Jordan River. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. You remember the occasion when there was wine and a marriage, and they ran out of wine, and his mother told him, "Son, they don't have any wine." And Jesus said, "What have I to do with thee? My hour is not come." I don't know how to interpret all this circumstance. I'll tell you that. But this is what I believe, that the Lord was working through Jesus' mother also. And Jesus submitted to what his mother's request was. The difficult things that Jesus faced in his life, in his ministry, he learned. Obedience was not automatic for him and not easy for him like it is for us. There's a fleshly part of us. There's a human side of us that wants to take its own way so many times. But I want to challenge us this morning. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. I want to look now at another scripture. 1 Peter 5 and 10. It says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. You know, the Lord wants us also to learn obedience through our suffering. He wants us to come to the place of giving ourselves to Him, surrendering ourselves to Him, yielding ourselves to Him. And I'm very thankful this morning that he has patience with us. The Lord works with us. He's patient with us. Jesus was in the garden. It took him, he prayed 3 different times for victory. And sometimes it takes us a while to pray through, to really surrender, to really come to that place of submission and obedience to God. James, the first chapter. And the second verse. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I feel like I'm very challenged with these verses. When we are in suffering, when we're in time of temptation, when we're, he said, when you fall into various temptations, which is difficulties, suffering, hardships, he said, let patience have her perfect work. There's something about us and our humanity that we don't want to suffer. And that works against us. We don't like suffering. We don't like hardship. We don't like difficulties within our flesh. But we need it. The Lord, that's how we learn. The Lord wants to work. And sometimes in our prayers, I've been this way. Lord, remove this thorn out of my flesh. I don't want this here. Many times the Lord has, I want to say our soul is more important than the natural. God is trying to get us to heaven. The soul is more important. And that's what God sees. He sees our soul. He sees the soul of us, our spirit. He is trying to get us to heaven. And He will bring us through whatever it takes to accomplish that goal. He will bring us through temptations, difficulties, sufferings to help us to achieve that goal. But he says, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, that you may be complete and entire, having all that God wants us to have. The Lord wants to teach us. He wants to teach us in our troubles, in our difficulties, in our battles. He wants to teach us how to overcome and how to be victorious in those places. And Jesus is our example, and He was faithful to God. I want to get a verse now in the scripture we read in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, made reference to Psalms, the 2nd chapter, and I want to get that. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Psalms, the 2nd chapter. Psalms, the 2nd chapter. Let me see what I want to read. I don't think I'm going to read. Yes, I'm going to start at verse 1. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Now I want to notice that this was happened in David. It was also accomplished in Christ, which is the antitype of David. David is a type of Christ. But this was accomplished when the rulers were moved against Christ. Pontius Pilate, and that's brought out in the book of Acts. Pontius Pilate, Herod, the rulers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees took counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. They came against Him. But then it says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Trouble came down the road for that, for them taking counsel against the Lord and coming against Him. The Jewish people went through great trouble. But I want us to notice this. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They knew what Jesus stood for. They knew what He taught. They understood. They heard Him. They heard Him speak. And they didn't want it. That's what this scripture is saying in Psalms 2. Let's cast their bands asunder and break away their cords from us. They didn't want to humble themselves. They didn't want to humble themselves from their position. They didn't want to humble themselves from their pride. I want to drop down now. It says in verse 10, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Now He says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee. The Septuagint reading on this is not kiss the Son, but it's accept correction. Accept correction, lest He be angry with thee. Accept what God is trying to teach us. What the suffering is trying to show us. What it's trying to reveal to us. God, Lord, help us today. He said, accept correction. You know, I want to just mention just a little bit about Peter at the feet washing, when he spoke up and he said, you're not going to wash my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. You know, the Lord, He didn't make room for that. He said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. The Lord cannot work through disobedience in the way that I'm trying to share this morning. He can work through, Lord, help us to interpret this right. He can work through a person's disobedience. I believe that, but it's a hard lesson. But if we want the blessing, if we want the favor, if we want to learn and the Lord to teach us, then we're going to have to become obedient to what the Holy Spirit speaks to us and the path that He puts out in front of us. If we don't, and I can look back in my own life and I can see places where I've pulled back, where I was self-willed, where there was some stubbornness in my heart, and the Lord doesn't bless that. He has to bring us, we've got to come to the place where we say, I'm going to obey. Whatever it costs, I'm going to do the will of God in my life. We must come to that place, or we dry up on the vine if we don't. I want to bring to our attention Achan and Saul, where the Lord told him, he said, Saul told Samuel, he said, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And Saul said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears? Saul did part of what the Lord had told him to do, but he knew down in his heart that he really didn't do all of what God told him to do. And there was evidence of it. And he was caught. But you know, Saul, David got caught in disobedience as well. The difference in the two was that Saul never humbled his heart. And he went from bad to worse. David found restoration. He found God's blessing. He found God's forgiveness because he was willing to submit himself to God. And he did. And the Lord restored him. And the Lord healed him and blessed him. Then there was, I want to close with a little thought of Achan. You remember they were supposed to burn everything in the fire. God had told them, don't take their gold, don't take their gods, don't. Achan had another mind, another thought, contrary to what God had told them. And he went and hid the Babylonish garments, the wedge of gold, he hid it in his tent. And when Israel went out to the next battle, they lost. And Joshua fell on his face before the Lord. It cost them. Joshua fell on his face, and the Lord said, why? He said, there's sin in the camp. You know, when there's when we're short of victory, when we're short of what God has for us, Lord, help us to fall on our face before the Lord. Help us to seek Him with all of our heart. Help us to yield to Him with all of our heart and life and lay hold upon what He has because He does have victory for us. He has hope for us. But Achan's disobedience cost Israel. And I want to challenge us with that thought today, because our disobedience or our obedience will affect those around us. We may think it's just me. Achan's disobedience affected the whole camp. Our disobedience will affect what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. So I just want to encourage us. I've been these scriptures. Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered. He learned how to say yes to God. He learned how to humble himself before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not. I read just recently Andrew Murray's book. He said there's two lessons in life. And he said that sometimes it takes people a long time to learn them. The first lesson is that we can't do it without God. That I can't live life. I can't be without God's help. I can't be what God wants me to be without His help. And he said, sometimes it takes people a long time to learn that lesson. Because we struggle. We're human. We struggle to trying to fight our battles sometimes. We struggle trying to figure things out within ourselves. We fight, we labor, we try to be victorious. We try to be what God is calling us to be. But he said, kiss the Son. Receive correction. Receive what God has for us in our lives and be submissive and obedient to that. You know, many times it's not. He told him, he said, if the Lord would have asked you a great thing, it wasn't a great thing the Lord was asking. It was simple. Just a small thing. Lord, help us today and encourage us today, Lord. He told Saul, he said, stubbornness is like witchcraft and rebellion is idolatry. Stubbornness is idolatry, rebellion like witchcraft. The Lord sees that. He knows that. When we come to places where we just... But I mentioned earlier, I'm going to say it again. The Lord is patient with us. He works with us. But He does want us to come to a place that we surrender and we yield ourselves. And we become obedient to Him. And allow Him. I don't want to obey the Lord just when it's convenient. Just when it strikes me as a pleasing thing to do. Or something that I want to be willing to obey. Regardless of the cost. There's another scripture in Corinthians that talks about when your obedience is full. So it almost sounds like they were obeying, but their obedience wasn't quite to the full mark. Lord, help us today to yield ourselves to God and let Him. And I'm going to say today, when we do obey the Lord, there's a blessing. We find the riches. We find that fellowship with Him. We find that communion. The Lord begins to reveal. And you read the Apostle Paul. He talks about the revelation over and over. Revelation. God revealed. God showed. It's because he submitted himself to the Lord. He was willing and obedient. And the Lord was able to reveal things to him that we can't get in the human. We don't get it just by our IQ. And we can't get it just by trying to figure it out. But when I obey, and I make steps to obey, it begins to open up. I've seen this over and over in my life. I've seen it, things open up to me when I have been obedient unto God in my life. Lord bless us today. May the Lord bless us all. Draw us close to Him. Help us to be... There's scriptures over and over. The Lord wants us to be obedient. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Being subject one to another...
be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Our pride, our human pride works against us, and the Lord wants us to be able to put that down and allow Him to have His way in our hearts and lives. Thank you for your attention this morning.